Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebeek. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us. This episode is hosted by Stephen Browning.
Hello everyone, this is Stephen. You are listening to part one of a two-part recording of Keith Warrington. When I was recording with him, there was so much that we wanted to cover that we decided to turn it into two episodes. The first one is about YWAM Germany and Keith's journey in YWAM, and the second one is about the Kingdom of God. Hope you enjoy. So hello everybody, I am here today with Keith Warrington. Keith Warrington is a YWAMer who's been working in Germany for the last 50 years. He's actually a New Zealander, which I'm very excited about as a New Zealander myself. It's a great privilege to have Keith as the second New Zealander that I'm able to interview in this podcast. He's been working with YWAM Germany for the last 50 years, and I got introduced to him in a conference last year called the National Leaders Learning Community, where he talked about the kingdom. And as he was talking about that, I really thought, oh, I really want to interview Keith. I think this would be such a good topic for the podcast. But then he was gone already the next day, so I didn't have a chance to catch him and interview him. But then he came now to a school to come and teach, and I thought, okay, this is my moment. I am going to try and catch Keith. So welcome, Keith.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming and joining with us. You have so much like history and experience in YWAM. How did you like get started with YWAM? How did it come into being?
Yeah, well, that goes back to the 60s. I came to Jesus when I was 14. It was all new. My parents had just gotten saved before, so suddenly I had religious parents at home. Anyway, later through the preaching of a powerful man, Campbell McAlpine, I met Jesus, gave him my life, and that he changed me. So then I was looking for the call of God. I went through university. I studied mathematics. I was on the way to be a high school teacher, which I did. I trained for that, and I was in the classroom for a short while. But in all of this, I was looking for God's call on my life. In the middle of that process, in 66, Lauren Cunningham came to New Zealand, and I was in a group of sort of young people turned on to God, spirit-filled, working with Teen Challenge, trying to, you know, we felt we're on a cutting edge of God doing good stuff. It's a little exciting. And Lauren came right into the middle of that scene and opened up the world to us and basically creamed off everybody into missions. But among, you know, some of the names became well-known from that were Ross Tooley, Barry Austin, Jim and Joy Dawson, later on John Dawson, their son, Jeff Fountain, Warren Fountain, his older brother, Winky Prattney, all Riona Peterson, who became Riona Jolly. So there, you know, loads of other heroic people that came out of all of that. So that was how I got involved. I did an outreach in Fiji. 40 of us from New Zealand and about 10 Australians came in Christmas from 68 to 69. First experience of sort of believing God for the money, listening to the Spirit, traveling out, new culture, evangelizing in a new culture, relating to the people. It was an important step. Then back into university, going on, etc. And as I was seeking God for my future, I heard about the school in Lausanne, and I was having a good time. I had regulated my life, and I got things squared up in my life. I'd asked for help, for counseling. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I took time in the evenings to be just before God, studying the Bible, learning, praying, worship, interceding. And I put this brochure of the school just out on my desk, and I had it there for months looking at me. And every now and again, scriptures would come into my, would speak to me from the directly that started to add up to say, yes, I was to go to the school. And then when I got serious about it and made a decision, yes, I will go there, then I was asking God, when should I go, etc. And he showed me 2 years' time, so I became a teacher, taught for a while, then finished everything off with the understanding I'm to go to the school, but it's actually just a stepping stone. I'm to go to Europe. And somewhere in Europe then is my place. So I landed in the school when I was 23 and took me into Germany. So I entered Germany when I was 24. So that's how I got there. Yeah.
And how did God take you into Germany?
Well, I was doing the school in Lausanne. It was a 14-month school in those days. You did a summer outreach. Then you did a European language course. Mm-hmm. French, Spanish, German, whatever. And then came the lecture phase in Lausanne, January to March. Then there was a 3-month Middle East field trip, mm-hmm, in the footsteps of Jesus and Paul. Very helpful. a lot of history in that, some major themes coming up, and then a final summer evangelistic outreach. So I came in the summer of 71, and I did my outreach in England, and then to Lausanne. All the teams came in. That was a very exciting thing for me. I'd worked towards it for 2 years, and now here it was. First time I met all these heavy young people that had done a school of evangelism, and they looked up to them. And then we had to choose a language course, and I thought, oh, this is an important. So I was very careful and chose German. We went up to the German course. 14 of us were bused up to Cologne and into a language school, a normal language school, billeted by families arranged by the language school. So there we were in Germany. That's how I first got there. I remember we were in this Wyman bus, and we crossed the border up near Basel. Drove up from Lausanne, crossed the border in Basel, on up to Cologne.
And then whilst you were there, what did you all do in Germany? Like, how did YOM look in Germany? Because, of course, around that time, there was also some major events that happened in Germany, of course.
Yeah, no, that happened. The major events started a year later. Mm-hmm. What there was in Germany was David and Carol Boyd, and they are, in one sense, the unsung heroes. They had finished their school in the summer of 70, so 2 years before, and they had a call to Germany, and they had gone up and worked with a young pastor in Berlin called Volkart Spitzer. And under him, under Volkart, there was a breakthrough, a spiritual renewal started, and he actually became almost the spark for the charismatic renewal in Germany, and it was moving wonderfully, powerfully. And David and Carol went up to work with him, and he developed a great respect for them. He told stories about David and Carol, and they were running a cafe among young Marxists and people coming to Jesus. It was a time of a revival, kind of a revival, or at least a spiritual outbreak. And they were leading these young intellectuals or the young 68 generation to Jesus, and which was terrific. And after that, they moved down to the Frankfurt area, and they were involved with the American military in Germany because they were American people everywhere, camps everywhere. And they were in the middle of that, so they were the pioneers of YWAM in Germany. Then in 72, Don Stevens from Lausanne, working from Lausanne, had this this vision for a big outreach in Munich. Mm-hmm. And then all of Lausanne invested, all of YWAM worldwide. Don led it. Lauren was right there with him. Brother Andrew got involved. They were all up into Germany to make this thing happen. And through it, we got the castle, mm-hmm. Schloss Horlach. And so it all started to roll in 72. I got involved. I was engaged to my wife, Marion. She had been in Lausanne, and we'd known each other from Auckland, New Zealand. Fell in love, got engaged at the beginning of 72. And then we got married just 2 days after the end of that Olympic Games outreach in the castle. Then we went to Salzburg for Sound of Music Country for our honeymoon, and then I took my bride back to my castle where I lived happily ever after.
And how did YWAM Germany look at that time? Because I think a lot of us, at least for myself, I don't have that big of a picture of how YWAM Germany looks. I know about all the locations. I know a little bit of the details, but how did YWAM Germany really grow in that time? Because it started with Family Boyd, of course, but then it grew.
Yeah, well, David had laid a good foundation with Volkart in Berlin that came, and we profited from that later. And then the big push into the castle, and then Don Stevens took over. He had been in Lausanne, Lauren's right-hand man, and now he came into his own, and he was the leader and developer of the castle and was automatically the leader of YWAM in Germany. And so he grew the castle community. And we ran international schools of evangelism, just like Lausanne, English-speaking, 70 students doing what I've just described. And we would put the schools together on trips to the Middle East. So we'd have a whole convoy of buses, students from these two schools. And then Don Stevens, he called David Boyd down, and David and Carol moved into the castle in 73, April 73, and he called them in to be his right-hand man and woman. And he discipled me and Marion, my wife, and some others. Then he started to give me projects in Germany. He asked me to run a summer of service in 1973. Mm-hmm. So I went away, prayed, heard from God, Berlin, ran a small team, 14 people in Berlin. We worked again with Volkart Spitzer there. That's where I got to know him. And then he would have me traveling out on certain weekend outreaches. He put me in charge of doing sort of weekend outreaches, going to churches where we were invited, mostly into the youth groups. Sometimes we got invited to hold sort of a bigger event, a youth day, conference day or something. We would put groups together from the castle. We were, at that stage, we were about 40 staff, developing these schools. summer outreaches. That was the program. Schools, summer outreaches, teams to arc to other countries, international. Yeah, and then 1974, Lauren planned to move back to California because he said, we've developed enough in Europe now. We've got YWAM started in Europe and different, Lynn Green was in England. Some folks were in Denmark, Joe Portale and others were in France. Al Akimov had been in Spain. He was also in Holland. Rumke de Graaf, others in Holland. And then we were getting going in Germany, and Al Akimov was developing the whole work in East Europe. Mm-hmm. He was stationed for a while in Germany, and then he moved to Austria. Anyway, Lauren said, that's growing now, and now I need to go back to the Americas and try to see growth and pioneering in the Americas. So Don called us in the summer of 74. I'd been doing an outreach with 60 people in Frankfurt. He called us back. He says, Keith, I'm leaving. I'm going to Lausanne. I'm going to become the leader in Europe because Lauren's going, and I need to be based in Lausanne. But I want now to set it up in the castle. I want to appoint David Boyd and Carol as the community leaders, the castle leaders in the castle and in Germany. He said, can you submit to them? Which was the right question. And I said, yes. Had a lot of respect for them. And then he prayed over me and commissioned me to be the minister into Germany because he could see that's what was in my heart and that's what, and he's already priming me over these, which didn't mean that I took off into Germany. It just means, okay, as the castle community grew around David and Carol and us leaders who'd been there under Don for a couple of years, I had the mandate to take it out. But of course, I brought that back and ran it under the general leadership. And so we started then to grow this community in the castle. We already had these international schools going. And then we increased our teams out into Germany. And every weekend, we were putting teams out. And then we'd have summer outreaches. We'd have Easter seminars. And so we started to crisscross the country. And we started to live out what was really my heart. My primary call is not to YWAM, but it's to a nation of Germany. Mm-hmm. And so we were doing our outreaches, pushing out there, doing and getting involved. And little by little, we began to intercede over the country. And then we began to ask God, God, how do you see this nation? We've been thinking YWAM outreaches. We're putting out. We're growing. I actually began the first school of evangelism in the fall of 74. And then we did our first German DTS in 76, I think. And then they started to multiply, all based in the castle community. And David led us. We came into such a communal relationship system, and we learned to seek God's presence. We learned worship. A pastor came in and taught us worship. We didn't know it. My wife became influential in the worship. Bruce Kluert was a leader in the worship going out. The castle, God showed us later in intercession to push worship right across the country as a task. And we did that, and we just got into the flow of the Spirit going everywhere. And that made us very well known in the country. So anyway, just by pushing out, and as we were praying over it, doing our outreaches, we stopped thinking, okay, what's a good place for our students and staff for the outreach? We started to say, where is God going in this country? And how do we line up with that? And we'll invest our strength into where God is going. So there was a flip in our focus. We flipped from trying to build YWAM to trying to build Germany. Use YWAM to build Germany, which was really sort of, we didn't have the term disciple a nation at that time, but we were catching on to that idea. So we lined up to start to disciple a nation. And I would say that happened about 75, 76.
And how did that work? How did you learn discipling a nation? How did you learn to follow God's lead in what he's wanting to specifically do in the nation, not just running a nice outreach, but how did you learn to really follow God in what he's specifically wanting to do in each space?
Are you asking for a lecture or are you asking for learning by doing? And it comes from the heart and it comes from a commitment. And we had this identification with the country, we had the heart, we'd learned the language. We're still learning the language. You never get it perfect, but I'm at home in the language, of course. After 50 years, you'd hope so. But we were international. We had lots of people through who were not there to learn German. They were international, and that was right. And we had others who were wanting to cross into invest in Germany, to be a part of this international community, but with strong German push. And so they learned German. And it just grew, just by the way, out of that new basis. Mm-hmm. People would emerge And we had enough rolling so that we could train them step by step by step in community life, how to run a base internally, keep it together, develop it, spirituality and organization and community life. And at the same time, ministry out, which was mostly coming, well, I was going to be a lead in that, but others developed. And so people were learning that. And we, as we could see it come together and they started to pull people around and get a team, they were primed to go someplace in the country and start a new center. And the first place that we started was in Tübingen. We asked one young man, single, to go there and do it. And then he got married and then he built a team around Tom Jennings, Tom and Charlene Jennings. Then we were invited to Altensteig and a whole group went across to Altensteig. Volker Emken, who was leading that and different other key people, Jim and Ann Mills, who later went on to drama and music, and good people. So they started that center, and then we later went to Frankfurt, and then the other centers grew. And that each having centers helps if you put into the country. But anyway, we were serving with what we had in the youth groups, and then into churches, and then into cities, and then we're interceding over it, and then we're trying to get a reading on it. And then I started consulting with spiritual leaders across the country as relationships grew. I started to ask the right questions. Where is this country coming from? Where is it going? What do you see God doing? What are the emphases? We tried to look to see who are our partners in the country? Where is there a joining of the heart? And we found those good people, linked up a lot with them. And then with them, spent time praying over the country. Out of that has come, not from our initiative, but some of them initiated leadership networks for the country that are existent until this day and have grown and grown and perform and become a central platform for unity for the country. And Germany is itself reunited. And when that's 81 million people, a lot of space. But there's leadership, a couple of major leadership networks where they are carrying the development of the country together, apostolic vision, praying over it, relationships amongst each other, helping with each other. And they got a sort of help. They got formed in those early days. And then reading what is the issues in the country. And the big one was dealing with their past, the whole Nazi era past, plus the Second World War, the guilt of the Second World War, a lot of stuff on that. People emerge with a calling for that. German groups emerge with a calling for identificational repentance, reconciliation, dealing with the past. And we've been involved with that step by step by step. Remember once praying over the country and God gave me a vision of streams of water on dry ground and a fresh grain crop emerging across the whole country. And I realized the country was still under judgment. It was still separated. It was separated till 1989. And so that's a 44-year sort of judgment in place, as well as all the destruction that had happened. So, but it was not a judgment for control, for breaking them down, for keeping them tamed. It was a judgment for a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And God was pouring his streams out and wanting to rebirth the nation. It has wonderful historic roots. It has some very bad historic roots. But God rebirthing the nation, that another chance for his purposes with this nation. He began to show us that, so we began to have faith in the nation. And then ministries emerged in different streams, like family. A whole family ministry stream emerged as people got it. Then we slowly discovered the kingdom. Well, we'd already discovered. Then we started to look at going into the professional areas. Businessmen was already there, but lawyers and then different professional areas. And then it grew through stages, and it grew through the development of learning how to see the structure of a nation, the history of it, and then ways of ministry teams and ministry groups working in their area, coordinated under a bigger vision, but working in their area. So we've seen a rebuilding happening. Mm-hmm. The numbers are still small, but we have seen good development. There's prayer for the nation,
yeah.
Intercession for the nation, such as I have seldom seen in any country, and an ongoing systematic intercession and care for the nation and leaders together and growing from step to step. We're still small. Sometimes I wonder if we're too little, too late, but there is good growth. The numbers aren't high, but the vision is good. Mm. The vision is Germany restored socially, restored in the Holy Spirit, a freedom, you know, an honoring of the Holy Spirit, freedom of the Spirit, then great evangelism and church growth, but not church growth just out of evangelism or for evangelism, but church growth that will then be communities that will be carrying the country and pushing their people into all the professional areas and backing them. So you get a whole apostolic network cluster system rolling. And then international, they've caught the World Vision. They caught it many decades ago, and they're pushing out internationally and partnering internationally because Germany is set to be a major player on the international stage. And the body of Christ has to do it, and we hope that the whole nation can do it, and there'll be enough influence from God that Germany will be a major player internationally to give servant leadership. And it's already happening. It has been, you know, Germany has been very self-doubting because of their thing, but they're slowly stepping into position, and I think other nations are waiting for them to do it.
So from what I've heard, some of the major things that have influenced how YOM and how Germany has been growing is people having really a heart for the nation.
Yeah.
Connecting with spiritual leaders and spiritual elders, and intercession.
Intercession. Yeah. Intercession. Of course. You have to bring all the things before God and listen to Him, cry out to Him to see certain. We've seen many things changed, broken open, including the reunifications. A lot of intercession going into that. And other areas, there are other areas that are just waiting to be touched. There's some serious developments in certain areas in Germany, right, where the church has not yet grown to even address them properly. And I'm talking there, the whole ideologies of the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And Germany became really the proponent of the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. It was discovered in France and developed and perfected in Germany.
Yeah.
And the Germans took it to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. They still believe this stuff. And until that starts to be changed, that the fact that God has set His Son as ruler, and there is revelation, there's historic revelation from God. The Bible is a serious historical book, but the German philosophy will not see it that way. And so they've gone on to develop their models, and then they were smashed to pieces, but they're back together again, but they are now developing the next models out of their old system. Mm-hmm. And we're crying out to God to intervene and put in qualified people there that will challenge it at every level. Mm-hmm. So that there can be a constructive use of the German intellect and the German research and
yeah.
German creativity. It's a wonderful thing in the gift of God, but they've built on wrong premises. But they are holding on to these premises. They've never questioned them. Mm-hmm. And the main one is that there is no such thing as revelation. God lives in the upper story, or God is in the world of private faith. Mm-hmm. But this God, by definition, doesn't get involved in the material world. And that is the philosophy of Immanuel Kant. But it's not the Bible. The mm-hmm. Bible says exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
That God has created this world, He's holding it, and He's always involved in it, and He's always showing Himself. So the word revelation is very central, whereas this philosophy is built upon a denial of revelation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and so therefore the modern theology discredits all historicity of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I say, yes, test for historicity, of course, but not with a philosophy that says it may not be so right from the start. Anyway, I could get into a whole big thing. Germany. So Germany, there are good developments, and God had His people all over the country, and there are wonderful, heroic people, good churches, people out into society. That's the frontier now, is back the people who are in societal responsibility and help them, give them apostolic backup so that they know it's the call of God, and then help them do it with support. That's the central push that we've got now. Yeah, so these good people, this good development, but at the same time, historical bondages, and the future is open. Yeah, so watch this space. But we need help. We need help from overseas. We need apostolic ministries. Mm. We've got the prophetic is coming along nicely, but we need prophets and apostles coming in to help us build the kingdom in the country in all the areas. And we have good people, but we need a whole lot more help.
We're already coming to a close of our time. This has gone very quick, much quicker than I expected.
Yeah. But we can keep going longer if you
want. We can keep going on. To close off this section, if people want to pray for Germany, what should they pray for?
They should pray for the emergence of apostles and prophets, spiritual leaders who think holistically. They should pray for a great presence of the Holy Spirit, that the presence of God will so permeate the country that the atmospheres in the cities change. They should pray for a vision of the kingdom, not church, but church as a part of the kingdom, but the kingdom, Jesus operating all over the country, and Jesus' people learning to take their part of wherever they are, to do it Jesus way, so that we have a holistic development. And then in that, evangelism, so that we're seeing many people come to Jesus. But once they get saved, they don't say, now I want to plant a church, but they say, now I want to reform a city. And they'll go in there, they'll get plenty of people converted, they'll disciple them, they'll develop churches, but they are not salvation churches, but apostolic churches, who are interested in then seeing Jesus reform the cities. And the Reformation will happen by people structured in position in all areas, then rethinking their area of life, from the Bible, rethinking it, helping each other rethink it, you know, applying the great German thoroughness, and then revamping and reforming their life, their professional areas and their intellectual areas and their social areas and their artistic areas. That's what we want to see. We want to see those things, and they form a sequence: apostolic leadership, apostles and prophets, the freedom of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, a vision of the kingdom, men and women emerging to take responsibility everywhere, and in that evangelism, by the power of the Spirit, that we see lots of healings, we see gifts of the Spirit, we see Germany being rocked by revelations from God that will heal people, that will open up their lives, that will set them free, that there be this New Testament kingdom movement here.